Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We thank the Lord for 21 years we have been bringing these broadcasts to you, and we praise the Lord for this day. If this is your first time tuning in today, we say welcome to you. We hope you come back each and every Sunday. Make this a regular stop on your Sunday schedule. And for those of you who've been with us for many years, we appreciate you. We thank you for your support. And we hope you also keep coming back each and every Sunday. Today, we're going to be talking about the immigration issue, current events of the day, and what the Bible has to say. What is the Christian response to this controversial subject, the immigration issue? And so we have a lot to look at in the Bible because God speaks on every situation. His word speaks on every situation, and he wants order. He wants peace and tranquility in all the nations, including the United States of America. So if you have your Bible there, turn it to Romans chapter 13. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Before we get into the message, just want to give you a brief update. What's going on in Kenya? We're into the school project we've been talking about for several months, and we're continuing on that. We invite you to participate and help us get that school built. It's going to be a good primary school for 200 to 300 students, but in addition to teaching basic education, we're going to have an evangelism thrust there and teach the children about Jesus Christ, sing songs about Jesus, and so it'll be an opportunity to share the good news of the gospel with these children of Makunda. Makunda Village is a village of about 10,000 people, and many, many of them, probably 60 to 70% of them are Muslim, and so it's an opportunity to share the good news of the gospel with people of other faiths. If you think you can help us, we invite you to participate in this project. Contact me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. That's pureprairie@hotmail.com. Let me know you are interested. If you have questions, include your questions and see if we can get you involved in helping us build this primary school in Makunda Village. So today we're going to be talking about the Christian response to the immigration issue, and this has been a big issue, not just recently, it's gone on for many years, but the focus of it has, in the recent years, because of the unchecked immigration into this country, primarily from 2020 to 2024, millions, some people say 15 to 20 million, really nobody knows the exact number because many of them came in unchecked and unvetted, and there was no recording gotaways, and people who were not even recorded came in, and so there's no real true record of the number of people that came into the United States. And so the issue is, what does the Bible have to say about immigration? What does it have to say about law and order? What does it have to say about this situation we find ourselves in, where now ICE, Immigration and Customs, is trying to remove people from communities, and there's disruption, obviously, there's chaos and mayhem, demonstrations, and so all of that plays in to the fabric of American society. And so we're going to look today at the biblical response, or what I believe to be the biblical response to this immigration issue. Well, first of all, I want to focus on the fact that the United States is a country based on law and order. In fact, our law is based on the Ten Commandments, and you can look at the Constitution and you can see all of the themes of the Ten Commandments and justice and mercy and law and order, of the desire of the people of the United States to establish a country where law and order was of premier importance, and it was 250 years ago, and it still is today. That's one of the primary reasons that we have a country that has been in existence for 250 years is because we have a constitution that was divinely ordained and divinely given to the founders of this nation. And people say, well, no, America's not a Christian nation. Well, I beg to differ with that, because America was founded by people who were seeking religious freedom, and they were seeking a freedom that was based on the Bible, God's holy word. And so we have a nation that has withstood the test of time, withstood the pressures of even civil war, and God has ordained this nation to be a missionary sending nation, a light and a beacon to the whole world. And so it's very important that we study some of the founding documents of this nation to understand what the founding fathers were thinking and what was their line of action to bless this country to what we have today. Well, to look at the country and the desire for the founders to have a country of law and order, I just looked at the preamble of the Constitution of the United States of America. And this was drafted in 1776. And the Constitution preamble says, "We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves, to our posterity, do ordain and establish the Constitution of the United States." And so there was five different things listed there, five different points, bullet points, I guess you should say, that were listed there that have to do with law and order and tranquility and peace. Number one, to form a more perfect union. Well, the people who established this country came here from primarily Great Britain, and there was other people here in the land at that time, indigenous Americans and people also from Mexico and South America, but there was primarily the people who formed this nation and were given the vision for the United States of America came from Great Britain, and they came to form a more perfect union. They came to establish a country where there was religious freedom, where exercise of religion would be freely available to everyone. And so that was the first thing that they list, to form a more perfect union. The second was to ensure domestic tranquility. Well, everybody loves domestic tranquility. It's important that we have peace in our neighborhood. It's important we have peace in our house. It's important we have peace in our village and in our state and in our country. That is the desire of all men all across the world. I've been in 17 countries around the world, and everybody in all of these countries pretty much desires the same thing. They like peace. They like law and order. They like tranquility, and they like things to be in order so there's no chaos and there's no mayhem. If you don't have laws and you don't have an order to your society, how do you know who goes at the intersection? How do you know who goes first? Are you just supposed to jump out of your car and shoot the people that try to go ahead of you? Or what is the mode of action for the government and for the laws to establish this kind of domestic tranquility? Well, the third thing that the founders talked about was provide for common defense. That is one of the most important jobs on a daily basis. That's why we have the Army, the Navy, the Coast Guard, the Air Force. That's why we have the National Guard. That's why we have Highway Patrol and local police, and even people. The first line of defense is people's right to bear arms. People can take care of themselves and their family, and they are the first line of defense. And so to provide for the common defense is the primary issue for government. It takes precedence over filling potholes in the road. It takes precedence over establishing daycares to take care of the children and collecting taxes and all that stuff. So common defense is extremely important and the primary goal of every government is to protect their people, not only from enemy without, but from enemy within. Then the fourth thing, promote the general welfare. Well, you could say help people with their food and with their clothing and with their shelter and with all of these things that come as we think of general welfare, not necessarily a welfare program established by the government, but every single government, I would assume, across the earth has some kind of welfare benefits or general benefits to try to raise up the poor and raise up those within their country. And then last is secure the blessings of liberty. That is, allow for the citizens to make choices, to pursue individual goals, freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, all of these freedoms that came in the Bill of Rights. Those are the blessings of liberty. That's why people try to come to the United States. That's why people want to come here. They can establish businesses. They can open churches. They can do all these things that they are not allowed to do in other countries. And so the government is very important. Every country has a government. Every country has establish some kind of constitution or some kind of written laws so that the government knows what they're doing, they know where they're going, they know why they're doing what they're doing. And so that is important, and we have that in our Constitution of the United States of America. Well, the Bible has a constitution also, believe it or not, and it's primarily the Book of Romans written by Apostle Paul. We call that the Constitution of the Bible, and it lays down the precepts of the Bible, the Christian faith, established and written in God's holy word, established and written and enacted by Jesus Christ when God sent him to the earth, when God had his only begotten Son born as a man here on the earth. And the Bible also speaks about civil government and the role of civil government. Well, imagine that. God's word speaks about every aspect of human life, every aspect of civil life, moral life, spiritual life, anything that you can think of regarding human existence on this earth and human existence after we're done here on this earth. The Bible speaks about it. Well, the Apostle Paul is writing here in Romans chapter 13, and I suggest you go and read this chapter after today. It is an extremely important chapter in the Bible, especially in light of what is happening here in America regarding immigration and other issues regarding civil life. Are Christians even supposed to get involved in civil discourse or civil discussion? Are Christians supposed to get involved in politics? Are Christians supposed to even bother to vote? All of these issues are taken up and really discussed here in Romans chapter 13. So Paul says in Romans 13, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Well, that basically says God is in sovereign control of every government on the face of the earth. And you can understand that if you understand that every single person is created in the image of God. Every single man, woman, and child that is given life is given life because they are made in the image of God. And they may be born in Kenya, they may be born in France, or they may be born in the United States of America. And every single authority over all of the people on the earth are raised up by the one true living God. We have a song that we sing in Kenya. It's called Who Has the Final Say? Jehovah has the final say, and you can really think that about elections. Jehovah has the final vote. Jehovah is the one who raises up kings, and he sets kings down. He removes kings. The Bible says that, and like the king is like a river in the hands of God, and he moves it wherever he wishes. And so God is a sovereign God, and he is in control of the governing authorities. That doesn't mean that you have to just sit home and not bother to vote, or that you can just let politics go the way of the devil. No, in the United States of America, we don't turn politics or any other aspect of society over to the devil. We contend for righteousness. We contend for righteousness and justice. And the Bible says that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And that is the reason that the United States of America is the great nation that it is. Yes, we have faults. Yes, we have weaknesses, but it's still the greatest nation, the greatest missionary sending nation on the face of the earth, the light, the beacon of light to people all over the world. And so the Bible says that the governing authorities have been put in place by God, and we are to pray for them. We are to uphold them in our prayers and in our actions. Mark 12:14, Jesus submitted himself to the government authorities. Mark 12:14, Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and the disciples said to him, "We know that you are true and care about no one, for you do not regard this person of men, but teach the way of God in truth." And then they asked Jesus, "Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" And they said, "Shall we pay or shall we not pay?" But Jesus, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, "Why do you test me? Bring me a denarius." That was a coin of that day. "Bring me a denarius that I may see it." And so they brought it, and he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" And they said to him, "Caesar's." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And they marveled at him. Well, he wasn't telling them, don't get involved in daily life with the politics of the day. He was saying, submit to the authorities wherever you're at. And so we have to submit to the authorities here in the United States of America. We get involved in the politics of the day because we are the government. We have a voice. We can speak about the issues in our government. And in fact, we can go beyond voting. We can go beyond putting a sign up. We can even run for office if we want to. This is the United States of America. If you want to be a pastor, praise God, you can be a pastor. If you want to be a politician, praise God, you can run for office. You can run for mayor of your community. You can also run for governor or senator. You can even run for president. We had a president for the United States of America from the state of Kansas. Dwight D. Eisenhower was a general in the United States Army when World War II was over. And the Korean War was over, Dwight Ike Eisenhower ran for president and won. And so we have had a Kansan as a president of the United States. Well, Romans chapter 13, verse 2 says, "Whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves." And so when you resist the authority, expect judgment of the state, judgment of the government to come upon you. And that is judgment from God, because God wants us to be a tranquil and a peaceful place, and he wants law and order. And so if you're out there turning kiddies in the intersection, expect the police to show up and arrest you. If you beat your wife up, expect the police to show up and arrest you. If you steal something from the local hardware store, expect to get arrested, and you will have to face the judgment of the local constable. And so Jesus submitted himself to the local authorities. He also submitted himself to the judgment of the local authorities. If you read the trial, about the trial of Jesus Christ, he submitted himself to the decisions of those authorities. And he went to the cross just like the two robbers on each side of him, on either side of him. He went to the cross as a result of the fact that they judged him in rebellion to the laws of that day. They said he was claiming to be God, And so they condemned him to die on the cross. This is all God's plan, but he was submitting to the local authorities. When they came to arrest him, he said, I could have called 10,000 angels and wiped out your little army that has come to arrest me, but I am submitting myself to the authorities and their decision to take me to trial and their decision for me, which ultimately led to his going to the cross and being hung on the cross with a robber on each side of him. Well, Romans chapter 13, verse 3, it says, for the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. In other words, you will not have to worry and you will not have to be in fear of the authorities if you are abiding by the law, if you're taking care of yourself and your family and you're abiding by the law. You should have nothing to worry about. And so that is the reason that the government is given authority over us, is to take care of the evil in society, is to deal with the lawbreakers. The law is for lawbreakers, those that have evil in their heart, those that have desire to murder and rape and cause mayhem. The law takes care of them and gives the state authority to take care of them. Then in Romans 13, verse 4, for the authority is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. And so God gives the authority to the policeman and to the judge and to the jailer to put those in jail, to sentence them, even into prison, and sentence them sometimes for a long time. Even we have some places here in America, the death penalty, but God's minister for good is to take care of and try to remove or constrain the evil that is in society. And so Paul goes on to say, therefore be subject, not only because of wrath, in other words, to avoid jail or prison sentence, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake, that you can stand before God with a clean conscience, that I'm a good citizen of the United States. I try to obey the laws. I don't speed even when I don't see a policeman around, and I don't steal even when I don't see any cameras watching me. For conscience sake, we have to think about the ultimate judgment on our life, and that comes from God Almighty. And so we constrain our behavior. We constrain the things that we might do, not only because we want to avoid jail time, but also for a clean conscience and a good conscience standing before God. Well, are we to care about the poor? Yes, Jesus says we are to care about the poor. Bible is full of scripture talking about our need to care for the poor. Proverbs 19:17, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he, God, will pay back what he has given. Proverbs 21:13, whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he will also cry himself and not be heard. Mark 14:17, the woman with the alabaster flask of oil broke that flask and put it on Jesus' head, and Jesus said, leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me, for you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good, but me you do not have with you always. And so we will always have the poor with us. Beloved, you haven't seen poor until you've been to Africa. Come and visit me sometime. You'll see poor. We can't take all of the poor into the United States of America. There's no way. There's poor everywhere, even in the U.S. But when you get beyond the borders of the U.S., you will see millions and millions, probably 90% of the people on the earth would be considered poor, especially in relation to the bounty and the affluence that we have here in the United States of America. So we can't take them all in. So we have to go back. What is the orderly way to take people into the United States of America? What is the orderly way that we can maintain tranquil society, that we can maintain peace and prosperity and the general welfare? What is the orderly way to do that? You have to go back to the laws that are established, the laws that are on the books that have to do with immigration. And already we legally allow 1 million people or more a year to immigrate into the United States of America. We allow more legal immigration into this country than any country anywhere on the face of the earth. And so we have to go back to what is the orderly and established laws that govern the immigration into the United States of America. Well, we have to take care of the poor. If you have poor living next to you, you help them. That is a God-given thing that you need to do. Jesus said, when you have the alien among you, you have to help them, or it is God's will that you help them. But to just throw open the borders of the country and let millions flood in without any vetting or any real plan of how to take care of them, or to allow criminals that are unvetted and unknown into this country, is obviously a perversion of that biblical mandate to take care of the poor, and that you will always have the poor among you. Well, we'll continue some more on this next week, and we'll finish talking about this immigration issue. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank God for that. We'd love to hear from you. Help us keep these broadcasts on the air. Help us with the other projects we have going in Africa. You can contact us at Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. That's Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. Make a donation with your debit or credit card at paypal.me/GatherTheOutcast. You can look at pictures of the ministry on Facebook at facebook.com/Jim Rao. We'd love to hear from you today. Thank you again for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.